Oh, it's a happy day, a beautiful day as we get started to play. Hey. Oh, I like the last bit there too. Hey everyone, Niyama Xiong here, and welcome to the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity and help them leverage what makes them different to make their difference in the world. We get a chance to play today with Matteo Grosso, and I am very, very, very thrilled to introduce him to you, Outliers. He's a fellow outlier as well. This plays a game that I feel is really, really fun and really cool. So in today's conversation, we're gonna explore more about how Matteo brings out who he is and leverages that to create his impact in the world. We'll be diving and dipping and diving and dodging in as many different ways that as the moment calls for. But with that being said, I want to slow down a little bit and just ground into being here with Matteo. So Matteo, one of the things that I have found to be a benefit for me and the conversation is to just spend some time just sharing about who you have been for me thus far, right? I don't prepare it. I kind of know that I want to do it because generally speaking, otherwise, I think I talk to my goal in every case here is to make sure I'm actually talking to the person, and not to a persona or playing a role myself on this. So if you're good with that, I'd like to just share who you've been with me. And I think that would also help center me in this conversation. Then we want to get to know more about you. Okay.
Awesome. Let's do it. Thank you very much, Niyama.
Yeah. So Matteo, the impact you've had on me, what I get about you is that you're someone who chooses to play at an accelerated pace, but does it in it's not regulated, but it doesn't have it doesn't feel frenetic. It doesn't feel hectic, When I spend time with you, I feel an energy coming from you. And I feel an energy of creation, an energy of making things happen. And at the same time, I feel an energy of being able to relax into it and do really great work, And for me, that's when I think about my peers in the world, when I think about people who I'm co-creating with and outliers out there, I feel like it's really great to be able to meet you in that space. And I'm excited to see where things go from here. So thank you very
Wow,
much there.
thank you
Yeah.
very much.
Yeah, it feels real. So let's help everyone else get to know you because I've had a chance to experience you a bit so far. Want to give other people a chance to be able to get a chance to see who you are. Would you mind telling us a bit about you personally? And then afterwards, we'll go into what you do professionally. So, who are you personally?
Wonderful. Okay. Well, let me just continue on what you were saying right now because you have noticed something. You have picked on a few character traits that are very difficult to identify. When you mentioned that I'm a highly energetic person, but also when I do things, I do them. I take time to focus and do them well. This is actually what comes up in my behavioral assessments. I'm the kind of person who is very high energy. I love novelty. When we look at priorities, let's say, it's always action, enthusiasm, collaboration. This would be my top priorities when I work, and but also in my own life, right? I'm always the kind of person who wants to do something new. Let's go to the gym. Let's check out this restaurant. Let's go for a hike. Let's play basketball, and so on and so forth. But then there has always been something that my parents have noticed, and I know very well about myself, which is that I'm a bit of, we could say, OCD. When I do something, it needs to be like perfect. Like I want to take the time. I like to take the time to perfect it. And it's interesting because usually creativity and quality don't necessarily go hand in hand. These are actually two opposite traits in behavioral science. But when it comes, yeah, to my personality, what I figured out is that I love the novelty, but when I decide and I want to do something, let's say I want to decide the restroom for the night, I really do my research, and then I say, okay, what kind of food does Niyama like? And okay, I can bring him here because of this and this and this and this. And so that's something that actually it may tell you a lot about my personality, and it's Crazy to me that you've noticed that from the first impact, you know, because we were talking about many topics, but then you also notice that sometimes the conversation slows down and we kind of go deep, which is very typical of a conscientious personality and into understanding like who we truly are at the core. So it's not superficial, right? As a conversation is always deep. So very grateful for that. Let me know if you have
Well, yeah,
comments on
let me
this, and I
bounce
can
off that one.
continue.
Yeah, like what's fun for me is I have one of my values, like my internal and company values, is demonstrate your values, right? And the component of that here is it's like demonstrate your value, so like create the value in the moment, but also demonstrate your values, like show who you are in the moment, right? And what's really fun for me as I'm listening here and you're saying this is like you're in the demonstration of it. Like you're like, well, when I've done this assessment, I've done this assessment, like I could see how like you're like, I do my research, I know how things tie in. I learn, I like if I go into it, I'm going deeply into it. It's not just something that you say, you know, it is something that you live and it's something that is like that comes through. So yeah, it's not it's interesting when I reflect at the very beginning here because it's we've gotten some time to spend together, but not a lot of time, you know? And so it really comes down to like what's one of the core things that plays out for me when it comes to you. And so I'm happy to hear that reflection like landed well. But I loved how like right afterwards you went and you're just like, this is me. You're like, it just came right through. I want to keep building on that. I want to play with the, you know, the space of like creativity, perfection, like being able, like you mentioned, like the behavioral things that you do. I want to know more about that as well. So why don't you let us know professionally about you?
Of course, yes. So, I used to work in the corporate world for quite some time, right after my studies. You know, especially in Europe, when you finish your studies, most of the time you don't have a lot of money set aside. And so I've always known I wanted to launch my own business, but if you have no money, it's a bit difficult to do that. So I said, okay, let's go into the corporate world. I mean, I love that. I studied international management, so it was the perfect choice, you know, the choice that made the most sense to go to Dublin, Ireland, and from Portugal, where I studied. And I started my career there. And then I noticed that I was very good at training people, and I loved training people. You know, it was the highlight of my day. And therefore, and the people I trained were usually became top performers in the company. And so I noticed that, well, I was like, wow, I've trained this person. I've trained this person. What is something they have in common? And most of the time they did a couple of training sessions with me. I said, okay, maybe that is something I should focus on more and more. And I decided to take a leap of faith, and I quit my corporate job, and I decided to launch my own company. It's called the T1 Growth Academy. It's an academy, you know, in Florence. I'm Italian, and in Florence we used to have in the 1400, 1300s, I think it's in English. Yeah, in the 1300s, we used to have the academies for the artists. If you were an artist and you wanted to get inspired, you would walk into an academy and you would find painters, sculptors, all the different kind of arts, and you could inspire yourself just by looking at these people. And I said, why don't I build a virtual academy of people who are passionate about behavioral science, leaderships, and the topic I treat? And I built the academy, and now I work as a trainer for a Fortune 500 companies, mostly in the tech sector, but sometimes also other companies, or a personal coach for individuals. And my focus is leadership, the first two dimensions of leadership, so self-mastery and leading teams, with a specialty on behavioral science. As you may have noticed before, I love understanding what makes people do what they do. And so I also touch on a few other topics like neuro-linguistic programming, neuroscience, but behavioral science is really my core. And I do it in one-to-one coaching, live events sometimes, or masterminds in different parts of the world, like India was the most recent one. Sometimes we go far and we do something new. But Yeah, everything revolves around the human beings, you know, and the development of human beings.
It's fun to hear because behavioral science is really important to me. So I went to school. I came there as a math major. I graduated as an economics major, and I really started to find that like the type of economics that really lit me up was behavioral economics. So when I hear you say this here, it's interesting because it is part of the reason why I do what I do. Like you said, like why do people make the decisions that they make? Why what motivates them? So on and so forth. I have. It's taken me back to looking at the looking at that approach. I'll be kind of curious, like from like the I'll say as a behavioral scientist then, right? How do you like what are like how does that like apply in terms of like not that, but what is like ex like experiments? Like I think about like behavioral science and I think about experiments along the way. I'm kind of curious about like how you incorporate experiments into the work that you do.
That's a good question. Yes. I usually do coaching once every 2 weeks. So people always have a couple of weeks to incorporate everything we talk about in the sessions. And I found it to be more beneficial compared to the work I used to do with when I had the coach, when I had my coaches, because with my coaches we used to meet multiple times per week or even or once per week. And the problem that I found as a coach is that I never had enough time to actually try out things in the first place. And therefore I would get to the second, third coaching session that I didn't really know how to experience these things. And so I would constantly ask for more time, you know, from my coaches. So we have these 2 weeks, and well, if we work one-on-one, we do a lot of behavioral assessments. The DISC, 16 personalities, Enneagram, Big Five, and so on and so forth. We have more than 30 assessments that clients can take if they want to take them. So there is a lot of experience. And when we get into the part of communication and negotiation, which is leading teams, people actually have to engage in these communications and negotiations. So let's say I have eight coaches, for instance. I pair them two and two and two, etc. And I make them negotiate with one another. Because when I was at university, my master's degree, I took a course of negotiation. And the thing I loved the most about the course was the practical elements of the course. And therefore, this professor was from INSEAD, the MBA in France, one of the most important MBAs in the world. And he said, guys, you need to put things in practice, into practice. If I teach you, it's not the same thing as if you try to negotiate yourself. And so that's what I did. And that's how I became good at negotiation, for instance, and communication, just putting myself out there as exactly as I'm doing with you right now, right? We are talking, we are conversing, then we will rewatch everything and see, oh, would I say that differently? Was I clear in that specific scenario, et cetera, et cetera. And if you have something, someone who does it with you, it's even better. So that's why I pair people. And if you are in events, etc., it's even better because you have even more peers that can give you some sort of suggestion
Like
and
the
some sort of
feedback loop
feedback. Yeah.
is yeah. So there's a couple of things that show up there for me. The one I want to play with first, right? So I might come back to feedback loops in a bit, but the one I
Yeah.
want to play back first is you talked earlier about like perfection, and like going down there. But you're also like talking about like getting out there and do it. Like if you want to really learn it, like you have to go out and do it. So I feel like that is a place where when I think about my outliers, I think about my clients, I think about the conversations I have, it seems like you found a way to be both in action and still pursue perfection. So tell us a little bit about like how that works for you specifically.
Wow. Okay. All right. I've done a lot of work on this. A
Okay, this is
lot of
good.
work on
This
this.
is good. All right, we got
Yes.
to get your
Yes.
mastery on it.
Okay. So first of all, I had to work on my mental associations for risk and failure, because I used to associate risk with something that used to scare me a lot, something very scary, and failure with, I used to make failure existential. So if I fail at this specific conversation, I am a failure. I would identify with the failure. These comes, well, this is a bit of a work of a therapist, but if we look at my past, I come from a family of professors. And as it is quite typical of professors, they were very, very strict and very, they used to criticize me a little bit. You know, whenever they saw something I could improve, hey, Matteo, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And so, of course, I was always afraid of like doing something because I knew that whatever I did, I would have someone who was trying to criticize me, right? And when you're a child, you don't really understand it's for your own good. It's not constructive criticism. When I was a child, I felt like they were throwing stones at me, you know, instead of making assists with playing a football game. And so I had to rewire my brain and say, okay, wait a second, risk is a privilege because I can take some risks. Some people in the world cannot take risks. They're not in a position where they can take some risks. I could take a risk and launch my own business because I had some money on the side. I didn't have like a wife and children. So I was privileged, you know, and of course I come from like a first world country, an amazing family, you know, that can also support me if something goes wrong. So first, privilege. Second, failure. Failure is a blessing. I realized that the only way to not be criticized was always stay in my comfort zone. But the problem is the comfort zone shrinks. And so you find yourself doing less and less and less. And so instead of going up in the plateaus of mastery, you kind of go on backwards. And I was so scared about that, Nyama, that I said, wait a second, I need to fail because when I fail, I'm hitting my head against the next level. I'm hitting my head against the rooftop, you know, and at some point I will break this rooftop and I get to the next level. And so when I work with people and they say, oh, I've never failed in my life, I get very suspicious because I'm like, wait, are you actually trying? Or are you staying in your comfort zone? So once I rewired my brain and I learned these two associations, said, wait, okay, now I know. And so the difficulty with perfectionism is that we have a perfect image. We build the perfect image of ourselves in our head. And when we fail, we are so
But Ted, do me a
we
favor
get,
right now. I'm following you, but do me a favor, make this real for me. So like I'm hearing you talk about we, like kind of like in the royal we kind of perspective, but like tell me about
Oh,
your
yeah.
experience with it. That will help me like stay, because I pay attention as I go
Oh,
in as to
yeah.
like when am I locked in and when am I not, and I lose it when we get to like the general. Like I want to know about you. Like tell me about what your experience with perfection and failure.
Okay. Well, for instance, when I started working in the corporate world, I wouldn't take any chances, and I would take a long time in order to take some action and to do everything at perfection. And I would always pride myself, and I was always telling my manager, see, the work that I do is very high quality. Like these people, you know, my colleague, they're not doing high quality work. And only later I realized that was a very, very stupid move, first of all. And that showed a lot of insecurity on my side because the reality was that I was afraid that someone would tell me, hey, Matteo, you're not capable of doing high quality work. So I was always taking more time than I should take. And I was always hiding against this perfectionist that actually doesn't exist. You know, it's what is perfection? Like it's very difficult to say what perfection is. And actually, I had managers who told me that said, hey, Matteo, but so you think you couldn't achieve this degree of perfection in half the time? Or you think that, for instance, you're really better than everyone else in the team, you know, and even the most senior people. And I realized, I said, wait, no, maybe no. And that's the same thing that happened when I started my entrepreneur journey. I have a friend and who's an exceptional entrepreneur, and this guy is always doing something. And I'm like, how can you always do something? I mean, I need to time to perfect and think and et cetera. And he said, like, he's one of my best friends, and he said, ah, oh, man, you're just full of shit. So what? I said, what do you mean? He's like, man, you're just full
That's a
of
good
shit. You're
friend. That's a good friend there,
like,
huh?
a good
To tell you
friend.
how
That's
he
a good
really sees it.
friend, you
That's a
know?
good friend.
I'm like, what do you mean? Like, And it's, yeah, because you're afraid, you have this perfect image of yourself, and you're afraid that we will see you in a different light. We will see Matteo as a loser. We will see Matteo as someone who cannot be trusted or cannot handle responsibilities. And he says, but Matteo, this is the only way. Like, if you don't try, you will never get better at what you do. So that for me was an important lesson, because basically, accepting that I am an imperfect human being that aims at perfection was very was something that freed me from any sort of judgment. So I said, yeah, that's true. I'm not perfect. I'm aiming for that. It's okay if I don't do it, you know? And I always fall short because maybe my goals are bigger, but it's okay.
I
Because in
got
the
to
long
thank
run,
you.
I go up.
I got to thank you here for like being so like receptive to making it real. Because I will be honest, I got a ton from what you just said there, in a way that like felt
Wow.
very, very, very like applicable. So, can I like there's some things I want to unpack. This time, I'm going to actually speak directly to outliers on this here because of some of the things you brought in. Are you good with that? Okay.
Absolutely,
All
absolutely.
right. So outliers, there's some questions I have for you. I want you to just like slow down here with and just like think about like what is the image that you hold of yourself or the image that you want other people to be thinking of you. Matteo, in this conversation, you talk about like in this case, you had an image of perfection, the perfect, whatever the perfect was, and that was it. For me, sometimes it's like it's being able to be seen as like not really trying because I don't want people to think that like I am too smart or like too something, right? So I try and keep up that image. Like outliers, I'm going to invite you right now into like what's the image that you're holding in your mind that you want other people to perceive you of, right? And then like similar to how Mateo's gone through this process, like what would it be like to be able to. You almost like you said, like you still hold perfection as an idea, but you allow the imperfect you to go, right? So, like, I want to just give you some time to just become aware. What's the image that you hold for yourself, or that you want others to think about you of? And then, if you had to be your own best friend and give yourself some old, like your like some real advice or some realness, what would you say to yourself? And why don't we leave it at that? Let's just start breaking up, open the awareness overall. There was something really in there, Matea, that like that I felt it. I felt like I'm happy that you have a friend that will lay it out, lay it to you straight, you know? And that and also that you yourself are receptive to growth for yourself. It's one of those things that's really interesting. We talk about a lot about owning your outlier, being authentic, like being all of who you are. And it's really interesting because at the same time, one of the things I'm very, very cognizant of is I never want to trap someone or put them in a box, right? Well, you are this, you know, even though we're saying be all of who you are, it's like, great, like who you are today and who you're going to be 5 minutes from now, actually, like if we're doing the job right, should be changing. You should be transforming, you should be learning, you should be able to look at your life differently, look forward, backwards, so on and so forth. And so I really just want to say I really respect your dedication to in addition to the ability of continuing to grow and transform and take yourself to new to just keep recreating yourself and expanding yourself.
Man, thank you. Thank you very, very much. It's I appreciate you. I appreciate you. It's not easy, eh? It's not easy to constantly recreate yourself and be open to feedback. I have to admit that I love feedback. I've never really understood why it's difficult for many of us to listen to a different kind of perspective. Because, for instance, one of my core values is non-judgmental cognitive dissonance. So to me, like being able to hold different ideas, you know, the clash in a way in my mind is very easy. I love doing that, and I love the different perspectives. So of course, when I see people that struggle so much with feedback, I'm like, hey, you don't have to like take 100% of my feedback, you know, like take the 10%. There is always a 10% rule of feedback. Like, what is true? What is the message? You know, the 10% that they can use to grow. And when I did some assessments, for instance, I realized that I had a turbulent personality. And that was an important moment for me, an important realization, an important epiphany, because turbulent personality is the opposite of an assertive personality. Here, the question is, who defines your self-worth? If the external world defines your self-worth, you have a turbulent personality. If you yourself, like internally, define your own self-worth, you have an assertive personality in behavior science. So I realized I had 78% of turbulence. Now, beyond 80, so 80 over 80%, 80% of assertiveness, over 80% of turbulence, it is considered not dangerous, but not okay, like potentially counterproductive for the individual. Because on the one hand, if you're too turbulent, well, you're always at the mercy of people's opinions, you know. And if your manager, if your wife, if someone doesn't tell you that you're good enough, you're like, oh my God, I'm not good enough. And so you're way too receptive to feedback. So I actually had the opposite problem. I actually had to start listen less and say, okay, what feedback is truly available? And I started to filter, you know, the people who really loved me.
Oof.
On the other hand, we have too much assertiveness, so maybe too much arrogance, or like, I don't need your help. I don't need anyone's help. You know, like, I'm all right. I know what how things are done, which is also a bit counterproductive in the long run.
So let's see this. We're gonna start wrapping up because we're having a good conversation, and I'm seeing some places here that we can go.
Love it.
That element of you had just said it with the turbulence there, filtering for the feedback. I love that as well. Why? Why do I love that? Let's see. I think a part of me loves it because it feels a bit counterintuitive. So it's like the traditional thing I hear is like go get feedback. But part of what I'm hearing from you is like depending on how receptive you are, it might be useful to be filtering for it. And I actually think that's something that's happened for me. Like, well, let's just make it meta and just talk because I'm a meta person. Like part of the reason I choose to do the podcast in this format where I'm like, tell me about you, tell me about your story, tell me about your experience. It's because I'm like, for me, I find that the information is typically out there. What to do, all the things like it's there. The question becomes, just because it's there, though, like one thing I know is just because it's there doesn't mean that like you can get it. Just because you have the information doesn't mean you're actually gonna be able to implement on it. And so, like, what's been important for me is like, and we all have that information. It's out there. You may not be able to implement if you have the information, and many people have the information. So the question for me becomes like, if that's the case, and this is like readily available, just go Google it. You'll get so many different people that like. What's the real differentiator? And for me, the real differentiator becomes who's the person you want to trust, who's the person that, whose feedback you want to allow in, And so as you say that becomes something really important to me. That's like it's why I choose to let people like I'm like, let's make sure that you as an individual is seen because the expertise will come. That's associated there. So just when you say that there, it's almost like filter for your feedback. And I recognize it now. Like there's a few people, like I'm now one of those people who will read two or three books, but I'll read it over 50 times. And each time I do it, I'm trying to actually implement it. And I'm like, I know that there's other things I can do, but like actually, like if I just did what was here, we would be good. Now the books I read over 50 times are books that can take me that are that big. Some books have just like a very small idea. Like it's, I don't need to read it 50 times for that. But it kind of goes back in that element where I realize like people are like, oh, have you seen this person? Have you seen that person? I'm like, actually, right now I'm just gonna filter a bit to like actually like implement here and like use that as my feedback cycle. So yeah, you brought something new to the table here that I hadn't really put into perspective. So I do appreciate that. Let's go with this then, Mateo. We're going to wrap up this part of the conversation. What I'd like to do is first just say thank you. Thank you so much for like being here. Thank you for playing as fully as you did. Let's do this in three parts. The first part is this. If there was anything that you would like to like leave for any outlier who's listening in terms of like one more takeaway, I call them outsights. I like most of the conversation to be insights for people, for them to like listen and get their own
All
insights.
right.
But like when someone's like, hey, here's a takeaway for you, I call that an outsight. So if you have an outsight that you like to share with outliers before we leave, what would that be? And then afterwards, we'll figure out how we can like stay in your world afterwards. All right. What's an outsight you'd like to leave with them?
Okay. What kind of outside would you like to receive? In what area? In what
I think it's what, like, in this case, I'm gonna leave it kind of open. Just like from any part of this conversation, if there's like anything that you wanna like be like, hey, outliers, like, don't miss this, you know? What's just something here that you feel like might be a nice takeaway that you like for outliers to walk away with?
So probably the thing that connects many things that we have said is looking at things from another perspective. Usually, as human beings, we are very at the CIA they call it perception versus perspective, and it's one of the things they teach at the CIA in communication. When you are in a communication, when you want to know yourself, you only have your own perception, and it's a very biased perception. So my goal has always been, how can I see my blind spots? How can I see what I'm not seeing? So for instance, I take an assessment, it says 78% turbulence. I'm like, what? Okay, I found out something that I can work on. Okay, so perspective is very important. And so surround yourself with people like my friend, you know, like who was able to tell me, like, hey, like, you're full of shit. That's a perspective. Like, I tell you because I can see it from the outside. And that was very, very valuable for me. And then you take an action, you decide, you identify an action item based on that external perspective, if it is a valid perspective, of course, so that you can grow.
Well, I love it. Thank you very much. That's getting me thinking. You got me thinking a lot. Like, I've gotten a lot from this conversation. For those of us who are interested in continuing the journey, who have decided to, hey, I want to filter in more Mateo into my world. What's the best way for them to continue the journey with you?
Oh, well, for sure, if you check on the website of T1 with the number growthacademy.com, or if you look for Matteo Grosso Coach on Instagram, LinkedIn, even Facebook, you will find me. And contact me with any questions. I mean, I'm very open to questions. Let me know what you like the most about the podcast, if there was any takeaway that was useful. Very, very happy to always hear what people think about the time we spent together. So, and thank you, Niyama, for offering this platform and for inviting me onto your podcast. I was delighted to receive the invitation and excited to meet you and to talk to
Well, I'm glad you said yes. I know my
you.
invitation came out of nowhere, so I'm glad you said yes. Well, enough with this here. There's one question that I wrap everything up with, and it's the time capsule question. And so, Mateo, my question for you is this: if you had to leave a message for yourself, knowing everything you know right now, if you had to leave a message for yourself, but like 20 years later, so that like wherever you are, you will be reminded of something that you know to be important and true right now, what is a message that you would leave for yourself?
I would probably say, have faith. Have faith. It can be something bigger than yourself, you know, if you believe in God, but have faith in yourself as well. Like, have faith, everything will be all right. Everything will go for the best. Because I've had some moments in my life when I had zero money. For instance, I couldn't pay for a train, or a moment when I broke up with my ex-girlfriend and I thought that the world fell into pieces, you know, and I think I touched rock bottom, you know, and if someone had just told me, like, have faith, everything will be fine, like everything is going exactly as it is supposed to go, that faith helped me big time for the past 3 4 years since I discovered that. So yeah, I would say that.
Well, I thank you. Yeah, thank you for everything here. Outliers continue to stay in this world. We have a lot of growth to keep going on. I appreciate who you are. I appreciate you bringing what you bring to the table. Be well and journey on.